That brings us to our message for tonight as we continue in this objective concerning God. And the subtitle for tonight's message is The Sovereignty of God. The Sovereignty of God. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 57. Church, we must be governed by sound biblical doctrine concerning God's sovereignty. Now, I told you that we were in deep waters with this objective, and nothing validates that any more than the study of God's sovereignty. It is a deep and complex topic. But tonight, I want to give us a very basic understanding of God's sovereignty. Then I want to help us see why knowing that God is sovereign is important to our Christian walk. Church, we must understand that God is sovereign, and we must be governed by that understanding. Much of our struggles come from our failure to appreciate the fact that God is sovereign. So what do I mean by that word sovereign? Sovereign means having supreme rank, power, or authority. Sovereign means having supreme rank, power, or authority. It means having the highest power. The highest power. To be sovereign is to be completely independent. To be completely independent. So sovereign means having supreme rank, power, or authority. Having the highest power. It is to be completely independent. So when we say that God is sovereign, this is what we are saying, that God is supreme. That he is supreme. He is above all things. There is nothing and no one equal to him. Church, the devil is not equal to God. He's not God's counterpart. There is nothing and no one equal to him. There is nothing greater than God. He's sovereign. It means that God is independent. He is independent of all things. He does not depend on anything or anyone outside of himself. He is independent because he is omniscient. It means he knows everything. He has all wisdom. So he has no need to depend on something outside of himself or for wisdom. He is omnipotent. That is, he has all power. So he does not need to search for power in any other source. He's omnipresent. That means there's nothing that he can't get to because he's already there. See, God is independent. The fact that God is sovereign, it means he is supreme. It means he is independent. It also means that God controls all things. God controls all things. He controls everything. See, he created everything. And everything exists and continues because of him. He controls everything. He's sovereign. He's supreme. He's independent. He controls all things. And God being sovereign means he does what he pleases. God does what he pleases. That is, he has the absolute right to rule and to reign. And he does what he wants to do. And he cannot be hindered. He's sovereign. See, that expresses the sovereignty of God. He's supreme. He's independent. He controls all things. He does what he pleases. God is sovereign. Now, this topic, the sovereignty of God, is not often studied by Christians, but it is expressed throughout the Bible. All through the Bible, you can see God reaffirming his sovereignty. Let me give you a few examples. That's why I gave you all those scripture at the beginning of the message. Psalm 95, verses 3 through 6 says, "For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." He's sovereign. Psalm 113, verses 4 through 6 says, "The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth." In other words, God is so high, so supreme, so sovereign, that he has to humble himself to look down and see what's happening in the heavens and in the earth. He's sovereign. Psalm 115, verse 3 simply says it this way, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased." He has done whatsoever he pleased. Isaiah 46:10 says, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." That's God talking. He says, "I declare the end from the beginning, and I'm going to do everything that pleases me." God is sovereign. And you see that even moving into the New Testament. And you see the sovereignty of God attributed to Jesus Christ himself. Because Colossians 1, verses 16 through 17 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible." The things you can't see were created by Jesus. "Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things." That is, he is supreme. He is preeminent. "And by him, all things consist." I love that scripture, because what that word consist means, it means are held together. It is saying that by Jesus, all things are held together. The reason that the world just doesn't fly apart is Jesus. It is the power of Jesus keeping the world as it is. Church, God is sovereign. He is subject to no one. He is in absolute control, and he does what he pleases. Even your freedom of choice comes from God. You have the right to choose. You can accept him or you can reject him. But you can accept him or reject him because he's given you the ability to do so. He's sovereign. He is subject to no one. He is in absolute control. And he does what he pleases. Now, what does that mean for us? This is doctrine. How do I take this and apply it to my life and make it meaningful to me? Well, church, understanding God's sovereignty will help us live as Christians ought. Understanding God's sovereignty will help us live as Christians ought. That brings us to our points for this evening. When I understand God's sovereignty, I will have greater, point number one, reverence. When I understand God's sovereignty, I will have greater reverence. I will have greater reverence for God. That word reverence simply means regard or respect. I will have greater regard for God. I will have greater respect for God. Church, when we understand that God is sovereign, we will respect him. See, when I realize that God is sovereign, then I realize that God is not subject to me, but that I am subject to God. Now, that seems like an obvious thing to know as a Christian, but too many Christians, this modern-day Christianity doesn't seem to embrace that. Modern-day Christianity seems to embrace this idea that God is subject to us, that we're something special, and that we, by our faith, can manipulate God and control God and can tell God what to do and make demands on God, and he has to follow through and do what we ask him to do. But when I understand that God is sovereign, I realize that that kind of teaching is not consistent with our doctrine. I realize that he is not subject to me, but I am subject to him. God is not my genie in a bottle. He is not my cosmic Santa Claus, who I can manipulate to meet my demands. God is my maker. He made me, and I'm subject to him. I'm subject to what he says. He rules and he reigns. And guess what? He does it all by himself. I don't rule with him and I don't reign with him. He alone determines what is good, acceptable, and proper. And no one can change that. No one can refute that. I'm subject to him. He's not subject to me. See, when I realize and I understand that God is sovereign, I will regard him properly in my heart. I will realize that I don't have the right to do whatever I want to do. And because we live in a world that is constantly telling us that we have the right or ought to have the right to do whatever we want to do, that mindset has crept into the church. And so oftentimes as Christians, we find ourselves fighting with God, demanding of God, and we can't understand why God is not answering our prayers. Because we want to do what we want to do. But I don't have a right to do what I want to do. I'm subject to God. And when I have that regard for him in my heart, I won't be so careless with my life. I will become more diligent in seeking to understand God's will. See, I realized something many years ago that I spent a lot of time in my prayer and in my devotion trying to get God to understand what my will was. I spent a lot of time expressing my desires. God, this is what I want. This is what I need. Help me, Lord. Fix it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Now, we can seek God in prayer. And, of course, we should ask him for the things we have need of. But I came to understand and realize that I need to be seeking his will. It's not important for him to understand what I want. It's important for me to understand what he wants. And when we regard God properly in our heart, we will become more diligent in understanding his will. And we will be more careful to obey him.